So I'm going to carefully move the faith statement so they don't get messed up in my sermon. So y'all can probably guess what movie came to mind from the title of this sermon. I thought of The Wizard of Oz. I didn't read the books, only ever saw the movie. I thought of that song in particular that she sings, "The wind began to switch, the house to pitch." We all know that story, right, from the movie. Maybe some of you younger folks watched the movie? Okay, good. I wasn't sure. I did call my kids, but my kids are all older. So anyway, you all know the story. This tornado comes to central Kansas, and Dorothy and Toto are whisked away from black and white Kansas to a technicolor land of Oz, a land of munchkins and flying monkeys and good witches and bad witches. This discordant cacophony of rushing and swirling wind and all that stuff that flies past Dorothy's window when her house is up there in the cyclone, all of that gets replaced by pastoral sounds and the technicolor beauty of Munchkin Land. As Dorothy walks with amazement through this new place, wondering what has happened and what this all could mean, she says, "Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore." I imagine Pentecost in much the same way. After the rush of the violent wind that comes through that place where the disciples had gathered, the discordant cacophony of all those crowds gathered in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven, all of that is replaced by a technicolor symphony of the stories of God's deeds of power told in the languages of every nation under heaven. Just like Dorothy in her new surroundings, the crowds were walking in the streets amazed and bewildered. What does this mean, they were wondering. What could it mean when through the clamor and chaos of crowded streets, stories of God's deeds of power can be heard loud and clear, spoken in a variety of languages? What can it mean when the disciples of Jesus are so full of the Holy Spirit that they appear to be drunk? What does it mean? I hope someone in that crowd said, "Ken, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore." On that day of Pentecost, the disciples and the certain women with them and the 3,000 people who were converted that day weren't in Kansas anymore. They were swooped up by that rush of wind and brought someplace new and unfamiliar. Life was no longer going to be the same for them. No longer would they be living in that black and white life with which they were familiar and comfortable. Now they were in a technicolor world of God's people and God's deeds of power. They weren't in Kansas anymore. Now, there's a really important difference, though, between the spirit-scorched disciples on Pentecost and Dorothy Gale in The Wizard of Oz. Anybody want to take a guess? Dorothy wants to get home. The whole plot of the movie is following Dorothy in her deepest desire to leave the technicolor land of Oz with all its marvels and wonders and complexities and scary things and return to black and white Kansas, where life is simple and uncomplicated. but not the spirit-scorched disciples. In that power of the Spirit, they keep moving. They keep defying the political and religious authorities. They keep experiencing the shaking of the foundations. They keep sharing all that they have in common with one another. They keep healing all those in need, and they keep proclaiming the good news, first in Jerusalem, then across oceans and continents, to the east and to the west. You notice they said Libya and Mesopotamia. Those disciples keep moving. Not only do they remain in this new technicolor space of God's power, they expand it. Nowadays, we tend to keep that igniting and scorching power of God's Spirit tucked back in history to that birthday of the church moment. Nowadays, we tend to look only for the calming presence of the Spirit when technicolor reality gets a little too hard to bear. But Pentecost, my friends, is not about history. Pentecost is about future. Our future. The church with a capital C, and the church with the letters P-U-C-C. Pentecost is about our future. And it's not about a gentle presence. It's about a rushing wind. Pentecost reminds us that, yes, the Spirit moves calmly, but first of all, it moves us boldly and awesomely into God's technicolor future. Pentecost reveals to us that the gifts we need for our future are more often than not those things that are most unfamiliar and different for us. And Pentecost renews in us the global and universal bonds of the Spirit. For it is that power that breaks down barriers and reconciles divisions, not only in Jerusalem, but also in Libya and Macedonia and Mesopotamia, and not only in Portage, but also in the whole state of Michigan and across the United States and to every nation under heaven. We are renewed in our bonds of the Spirit. So, my dear confirmants, Braden and Andrea and Madeline, on this day that you affirm the faith that has been handed down to you from your families, from your mentors in faith, I invite you to receive the rushing wind of the Holy Spirit. Trust in its power to guide you and support you in the technicolor and very complicated world we live in. You are not in Kansas anymore. And to the rest of us, those of us still trying to get back to Kansas, those of us still wandering on the yellow brick road, not quite sure where we want to be, receive the rushing winds of the Spirit. Trust in its power to guide us. Trust in its power to support us in our technicolor and very complicated world. For guess what? We're not in Kansas anymore either. Amen.